Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos.
Still here, John.
And we are having the honor and privilege of interviewing Judy Bosworth, who is the supervisor of the town of North Hempstead.
And
the
I'm still here, too.
And she's still here.
And her nap is over.
We had to wake everybody up 30 seconds ago. Otto, you had a question at the break for Judy.
I did. I use the parks a lot. I like to walk, and I particularly use Tully now. And I see the stands that you have for the dogs, and I've read that that experiment has been a success and that you're going to go on. And I guess my major question to you is, how do we get the geese to use those little plastic bags that that are on in these dog racks?
See, this is a challenge. But so first, I'd like to talk about the dogs in the parks on leash.
Right.
I
haven't seen any yet. And I go, you know, 3-4 times a week, maybe walk through the park.
And they are on leash.
They are on leash.
I'm delighted to hear that.
Yeah.
So we figured we would do this as a pilot. And the pilot was at Tully, at Mary Jane Davies Park, and at North Hempstead Beach Park. There were many people who were thinking this was a great idea, and we did hear from a few people who had some concerns. And that's why we figured, let's do it as a pilot and see how it works. And it has been extraordinarily successful. People are so grateful that they have the opportunity to bring their dogs to a park, of course, on leash, because your dogs are part of the family. And so if you're going out for a Sunday and you want to spend the day in the park, you want to have your dog with you. You don't want your dog sitting at home alone while you're out. So many people are so happy about this. We're very...
Can I ask you a question? This is... Just in a section of the park, or they can walk around the park?
The whole park.
But there are areas that, in other words, they're not allowed on the sand in the beach at North Hempstead Beach Park.
Okay. Like Tully doesn't have a beach, so.
Right. So they're not, they are allowed on the North Hempstead Beach Trail.
Okay.
During the summer months, you know, we're very careful about, you know, where they are at North Hempstead Beach Park because the people that are there. But, you know, one of the questions for the people who were concerned was about enforcement. How do you enforce this? Now, unfortunately, people were bringing their dogs to the parks before we were saying that there was a pilot. So now there is, as you say, the poles that have the... we'll call them doggy bags.
Right,
you know, I think of them as poop bags, but that, you know, that's what they are.
And
we see that our dog owners are so responsible. And, of course, it's very helpful that they come, and if they forget to bring their bag, that there's one that's there. And we're always careful to make sure that they are fully stocked and readily available.
They have been, by the way. I am conscious of snooping when I go around.
We know we can count on you for that, Otto.
I have to keep my mind occupied with important stuff like that, you know, when I'm walking.
But you see, the thing is, if you were to see that they weren't, I would hope that you would call 311 to let us know. You know, we're trying to be very careful about making sure that all of this is being done. But we look at our residents as being the eyes and ears of the town. And if something is not happening the way you think it should be happening, we want to know.
Right.
So, but I'm glad to hear that they are. But in terms of the geese, we had a hearing at this past board meeting on Tuesday to talk about the pilot program and to see if we were going to be making it permanent, which, by the way, we are, because the response has just been so overwhelmingly positive. But someone brought up the fact that the geese are actually frightened away by the dogs being there. So having the dogs in the park and having owners that are responsibly cleaning up after their dogs has actually been a good thing for clearing the geese from these areas.
Yeah, because geese, they are a problem.
They are a problem. They really
That's
are a
real
problem.
That's real world. I mean,
yeah.
You know,
no question.
They're not trained.
As much as we try.
No. They look great when they fly, but when they make their landing, sometimes it doesn't work out too good.
Yeah, so we have to be careful of that. And of course, you know, we try to make sure that
it's cleaned up.
That it is cleaned up.
Yeah, it usually is, too. I mean, you know, sometimes it's impossible. They come in by the hundred every now and then, and they must have like a family gathering.
Yes.
I'm going to shift away from geese.
Yes, go ahead.
And some initiatives for 2016?
Well, you know, some initiatives require expenditures, and some initiatives are goals that we have. One of the things that I am very concerned about is the fact that our 6th precinct was merged with the 3rd precinct. I was a legislator at the time that was proposed. I fought so strongly against the merger. Our police do a wonderful job. They're so committed to protecting us, to providing safety. But the now newly formed third precinct is simply too large. It goes from all the way Manor Haven in Port Washington,
okay,
through the town, all the way down to Old Country Road, past NASA University Medical Center, and includes the Roosevelt Field Mall. So whereas,
wow, yeah, it's huge.
I had no idea.
No,
that's
huge.
When you said the hospital, I was like, that far down.
It is a huge, huge area that we're expecting one precinct to cover. And I will tell you that at the time of the merger, we were promised that no patrols would be eliminated. And that, in fact, is true. No patrols have been eliminated. The 6th precinct had 24 patrols. The 3rd precinct had 26 patrols. So altogether now you have the 3rd precinct having 50 patrols.
Right.
That's a lot of patrols for one desk sergeant to allocate resources for. And that's what they are being required to do. When the precincts were merged, what they didn't talk about was the loss of detectives, under plainclothesmen, undercover police, the POP officers. These are all parts of the functioning of the police that make our quality of life the way that it should be. It's not only about the crime in the area, but it's about traffic enforcement. It's about all the different things that you are expecting our police, that we are all expecting our police to do. And with the limited resources they have, they're doing the best that they can. But there's no substitute for there being two separate precincts. The merger has affected not only the communities that were originally serviced by the 6th precinct, but it affects the communities that were originally serviced by the smaller 3rd precinct, because now it's all one large entity. There was supposed to be all these cost savings that, from our understanding, never materialized.
Really? That's...
Yeah. So this is something that I'm committed to working on with our legislators, with our communities, to try to really advocate strongly with our county executive, with our acting commissioner of police, to see what we can do for the reopening of the 6th precinct.
Okay. No, I think that's, I agree with you 100%.
I agree too.
And the fact that the little bit I have read about it, all these savings, which were going to be in the millions, have not materialized.
No.
Right now, again, I'm not looking at any books, but anytime I read something, it's like there's no savings involved. It's just
funny money.
Yeah. You know, and you know what it reminds me of? You know, whenever my husband and I go someplace and I say, how long will it take us to be there? You know, to get there? And he'll go, 20 minutes. I don't care how far away it is.
It's 20 minutes.
How long will it take? 20 minutes. And it seemed, you know, when I was at the county, all these cost-saving things, no matter what it was, how much is it going to save? $20 million.
Right.
And it didn't matter what the project, it was $20 million.
Based on what?
Well, exactly. And so they've reopened the 5th precinct, and not a surprise, because I think the 4th and the 5th had been slated to be merged or had been merged and didn't work out. And so that was able to be reopened as they say, with no real cost to the county. So I'm trying to figure out what the real cost here would be as well, because the 6th precinct is a functioning building. It's got the highway department in it, from the police. And so they're saying, so there really is a presence. Well, there's no presence. You're having the highway cars. What they do is they add some more traffic to Community Drive, but they're just getting on and off the Long Island Expressway. There's no added presence to the communities that had been represented by the 6th precinct.
You know, one of the things that you've mentioned is traffic enforcement as a quality of life issue, and I think that that's close to non-existent right now, reality. So one of the things in calculating these numbers is lost revenue for not enforcing stop signs or red lights or a lot of these things
tickets
that they're under-resourced for.
Absolutely.
And they can't do. Mm-hmm. There is a lost revenue there. I often said I'd like to have the franchise for stop signs in New Hyde Park. I think I could make a lot of money.
I'd like you to do that, too.
Yeah. I think I can make a lot of money.
That's interesting.
It's amazing. The time flies. But I do want to touch on the Disability Advisory Committee, which is just such a tremendous initiative.
Yes. So we announced the creation of a Disability Advisory Committee, which will serve to advise the town on issues pertaining to those with disabilities. And we look forward to building on what we have already done to help those with disabilities in the town. But, you know, what comes to mind is you have parents who have children with developmental disabilities, mm-hmm. and as they're getting older, they're concerned about the services that need to be in place to help. You have many young adults with developmental disabilities that are in, you know, different placements, mm-hmm. but there are many who are living independently. And if anybody can live independently, boy, we want to do everything, you know, we can to encourage that. So we just wanted to make sure that we come together. This was something that was brought to us by Jackie Shankman and Larry Greenstein.
Okay.
And, you know, I think sometimes some of our best initiatives are those that are brought to us by residents because they understand the needs that they're seeing.
They're living it.
Jackie and, lives it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're able to communicate with us what they see as something right. that perhaps the town can help with. So we are looking forward to working with this committee. It'll have more of an advisory function, and it'll help us determine what information would be helpful to those with disabilities or for those who help, you know, with the care of them and want to make sure that we're able to disseminate the information, raise consciousness mm-hmm. About needs. We're not looking to reinvent the wheel. There are, you know, the county provides services, the state provides services, the federal government provides services. We're not looking to now have a new level, you know, of government, but there are so many things that are available. We want to see what we can do to help. And, you know, we've actually, you know, done some things, especially at Clark Gardens. We have a special volunteer gardening program at Clark Gardens that was just started that gives individuals with vision and hearing loss and those with intellectual disabilities a chance to volunteer in this beautiful 12-acre garden. This initiative is being so well received.
Really? Oh,
and I was there this summer. There was someone who actually is a master gardener who's blind and is able to garden, you know, through their, you know, tactical senses.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that was... Yeah, that was something, you know, I visited that actually several times, and it was, you know, wonderful to see.
It gives them something to have as a goal and something to want to do.
No question. Yeah. And in a very warm and encouraging environment. We also have a long-running 40-year program. It's Youth with Developmental Disabilities Program that meets weekly at Clinton G. Martin. But there's more.
Yeah,
there's more that we can do. And
and you're doing it.
And we're going to be looking to the recommendations from the committee to see, you know, what else.
You know what I find that I think is great? The foundation of Project Independence initially was the advisory committee thing.
Yes.
And you've taken that concept and you've got it, the disability and parking and now veterans
yes.
and so on. And I think that's a very important thing because this is now coming from the bottom up as opposed to from the top down, and people are getting an opportunity to tell you what their needs are. And as you said, you don't reinvent the wheel, but you facilitate and let people know what's available in these different areas without having to make 400 phone calls.
Exactly. And you know, you bring up the Veterans Advisory Committee, and I've spoken about that
yes.
know, here before,
yeah.
but such a successful committee, and it is comprised of veterans from our community who are coming together and seeing, you know, what we can do to help. Not providing new services, but making sure that veterans are able to access the services that are already available, that they
right.
deserve, that they should have. And so we did something this past summer, and I may or may not have spoken about this last time. We're at Fun Day Monday. We had the van from Northport VA Hospital come down, and the, you know, determination was that you have a lot of veterans who are eligible for the Northport VA hospital card, which would provide free medical care, which would provide very reduced pharmaceuticals. Over 50 veterans registered that day, came with all their papers, and got cards so that they're able to get the services from Northport VA Hospital. Do you have one of those?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And you know why I have it?
Why
I have it because the mobile unit went to New Hyde Park, mm-hmm. and that's where I wound up getting it.
Okay.
Prior to that, I was either too lazy or I didn't know how to do it, one or the other.
Well, you're not lazy, so I'm sure that wasn't it. But, you know, another thing that we are looking to do through the Veterans Committee is meet with representatives from Northport VA Hospital to see if there's mm-hmm. some way to set up some satellite facility in North Hempstead.
Because
there's
that.
One in Valley Stream. There's one at
East Meadow.
In East Meadow, at National University Medical Center. Right. But why should our veterans not have the ability to access this closer to
home? Yeah, and there's a lot of
home?
Veterans in North
there
Hempstead.
There certainly are, and we're so fortunate to have them.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
We're out of time.
Oh.
And I just want to leave this with one thing that Judy said, raise consciousness. And that's what you are doing around the town. It's unbelievable. All the initiatives that are going in, you're just bringing everybody aware in this town. Not about you, but about all the stuff that can be done, that should be done, and is being done because of you. But you're not out there saying it's because of you.
I have to tell you, I have a great team. Our council members, mm-hmm. each and every one of them, represent their individual districts so beautifully. Democrats and Republicans has nothing
right,
to do with the party. We're working together in a bipartisan way, in a collaborative way. Some the people who work in the town, we have a staff that is really just, you can't compare it to anybody else, committed every day to make sure that we're here to serve the residents of the town of North Hempstead.
Perfect.
It would be nice if you could get the bipartisan approach spread out a little bit down into the Beltway.
Wouldn't that be grand?
It would be.
You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. I want to thank Judy, and I'm also going to say something that Judy wasn't going to say. It starts at the top. So everybody does work together wonderfully in the town of North Hempstead because of the leadership.
And thank you, John, for all that you do. Really, it's always such a pleasure to be here.
Cut.
Yeah, it's not easy to get the compliments. Otto, thank you so much for always bringing up
always
the right questions.
Yeah.